Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 9:02 a.m. for the regular meeting of the Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assistant Living Facility Managers. The board's mission is to protect the health and welfare and safety of the public who seek to use the services of nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers. The board president reserves the right to change the order of items listed on the agenda except for matters scheduled at a specific time. And the agenda is subject to change after 24 hours before the meeting. Board members may be present by telephone. Items that are referred to as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless members remove a specific item for review, discussion, action separately from the other council consent agenda items. All right, the board may review, discuss, and take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for March 7th, 2022, regular board meeting is as follows. Call to order. Roll call, please.
President Campbell.
Present.
Member Kidder.
Here.
Member Randall.
Here.
Member Seaman.
Here.
Member Archer.
Here.
Member Stephen.
Here.
We have a quorum. Thank you. Declaration of Conflict of Interest, ARS 38503. Call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board forum. Is there anyone present this morning that wants to speak or address the board on any issue that is not on the agenda? Hearing none, we will proceed with the order of business. I would like to tell you a few housekeeping rules, if I may. Please be sure your cell phones are on vibrate or silent. If you need to have a conversation with anyone in the room, please take it outside of the exchange room. Bring your conversation up to the front and we hear what you're saying, and it's distracting. We only have this room until 1 o'clock, so we're going to work diligently through this agenda and get through it. I'm only going to hear those cases on the onset, those of you who are present and those of you who have signed in. If you are present for a case and you did not sign in, we need to know that. But I'm just going to go down through the agenda quickly. And if I call your name and you're here, we'll hear your case. If you're absent, we will not hear the case today, except for a few exceptions. And we will lose our quorum at 1 o'clock. So we're only here from 9 to 1. Our next meeting will be March 28th in this room, starting at 9 o'clock. Now, I'm going to move to the review and possible discussion for the approval of minutes. The regular board meeting minutes for January 10th, 2022. Mr. Attorney General, do we need to take these separate, or may they be done in one single action?
You can do it in one single
action. All right. Board members, you have read and you have copies of the regular board meeting agenda. Or board meeting minutes, sorry, from January 10, 2022 and February 28, 2022. Are there any corrections or additions to either one of those minutes?
Yes. Mr. Kidder moves to approve both regular meeting minutes for January 10, 2022 and February 28, 2022.
All right, I'll second that.
Second.
Thank you, Melanie. It's been moved and seconded there. We approve regular meeting minutes January 10, 2022, and regular meeting minutes February 28, 2022. Roll call, please.
President Campbell.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Randall.
Aye.
Member Seaman.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Motion is carried. Thank you. The board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 3843103A2 to discuss confidential information ARS 3431-0383 to receive legal advice. The name of the resident is confidential information, and in this public session, board members, staff, and licensee should refer to the residents as the resident or by the resident's initials. The board may block vote on these initial cases reviews as desired. Consent agreement. Agenda items may be considered in a single action unless a board member or interested party wishes to remove an item for discussion. I'm going to move now to item number 9D, review, discussion, and possible vote and ratification of proposed policy and procedure for potential resolution of disciplinary and non-disciplinary matters that are similarly situated. And I will now go to our executive director for that order of business.
Madam President, members of the board, this is something new that I don't believe this board has done previously. As everybody is aware, we have a backlog of cases, and we've only been able to have meetings for about 4 hours a shot over the last 6 months. So the idea behind this is to go through your regular agenda, take those people that are here willing to discuss the cases, and then if we have leftover cases towards the end of the meeting, I would be asking that you block vote those and use the staff recommendations to move all the cases forward. So that's why the agenda is set up a little differently. The agenda has cases that were postponed from February 28th meeting on the agenda first, as directed by the board president last month. We wanted to do those because those people had showed up first. And then you have new cases after that, and they're set up by staff recommendations. Staff recommendations are exactly that. It is a recommendation for staff. The board has the authority and the ability to do whatever they want to for the final disposition of the case. The reason it was set up this way is because I felt that maybe we can move some cases forward that are standard and that we can clear our docket out every meeting. I don't have anything further unless Seamus wants to add anything to that.
Thank you, Jack. Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Again, if the board has any specific cases from this list that they also would like to pull out and discuss themselves as opposed to block voting, you can do that. Again, as Jack said, if the individuals are here, we should respect that. With the dismissal block vote, the board could also consider just taking that, even if the individuals are here, unless the individuals want to speak on their matter after, you know, after it's been dismissed, the board can always revisit that. It's a little bit messier, but you know, or you could just bring them up one by one and dismiss those. It's up to you.
All right. But it's a pleasure of the board. Do we understand?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, new member Kidder, I think this is an actual format. I think that we can rely on the in-depth investigations that our investigators are conducting. They have more one-on-one time with the respondents. They have more detailed information, and I think that in some cases, the recommendations are really spot on. And I think this will really help us expedite and get through some of these lengthy agendas.
Okay. Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan, again, I will note that if you look at staff recommendations, they do track what the board has done in the past with the potential also to remove the stay of revocation, since we already have them under probation and we haven't actually to this point used the stay of revocation. We still issue a formal hearing notice. So that's something to think about. But they do track exactly what the board has done in these matters. Probation, investigative costs, reimbursement, and also the CEs track exactly what the issues in the final enforcement action by DHS were.
All right, is there any further discussion?
I have a question. This is Ms. Stephen. Just a point of order. As I'm relatively new on this board, highly investigated cost if we follow this one part of the moving this person forward? Do we always get that investigative cost paid to the board, or is that got to be decided on a person-by-person basis?
Madam Chair, Board Member Stephen, when the consent is sent out and it's signed, it becomes an order of the board. So that is a term of probation for that consent agreement. If they do not pay that investigative cost, it'll end up either at hearing or in a new complaint back before the board for violation of a board order. So that is the compliance portion of the order, and if it's not paid, you'll see it again in some shape or form.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there any further discussion? Do I have a motion to adopt the vote ratification of proposed policy and procedure for potential resolution of disciplinary and non-disciplinary matters that are similarly situated?
Member Kidder, I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you. Is there a second? I second. It has been moved and seconded that we adopt the vote ratification and proposed policy procedure for potential resolution of disciplinary and non-disciplinary matters that are similarly situated. Roll call, please.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is Virginia Vendrino here? Vendrino? All right. So on this one, since she is not here, do I
just keep moving down the list?
Just keep on moving down the list. Okay. Sherry Weeks? Is Sherry Weeks here?
Madam President and board members, Ms. Weeks did notify the board staff. She was at a second CAD. This is the third time that her docket has been
on. Sherry Weeks?
Sherry Weeks, yes.
Just move on between her. Delaine Brooks? Is Delaine Brooks here? All right. William Fisher? Oh, I'm back in the home, aren't I? Okay. We'll just move right on. Annalyn Villoria? Please come forward, please. This will be case number 21119. Page number, please, Mr. No, not there, honey. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. That's the phone. Yes, right there. Excuse me.
She's going to give a speech.
Yeah, we don't need you to stand to talk to us.
Madam Chair, this is page 70. Starts on page 70.
I'm sorry. Tell me that again.
Page 70.
Page 70. All right. Staff,
would
you please present?
This is case number 21119. The licensee is Annalene Villoria. She is present with us today. On July 29, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Mary Grace Care Home, LLC, located at 4443 South Benton Lane, Mesa. The complaint investigation identified six deficiencies in four different areas. Ms. Villoria was identified by DHS as the manager, and she was noticed of this complaint, and she did send in her written response. On approximately September 29, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee, Mary Grace Care Home, LLC, but substantiated violations. That's my synopsis.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Gloria, how long have you been at that facility? Please take your mask off. We're recording, and when you speak through a mask, you're muffled, and it's very hard for us to transcribe that. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been in that facility since January 14, 2020, when they opened.
All right, and what was your census when they had the inspection?
I was still the manager during.
No, how many people were in your
home?
Oh,
the census. There was a 5 residents when we, during the inspection.
All right, and what are you licensed for?
For 5.
For 5, and there were 5 there?
That's correct.
Were you present for the inspection?
I was there.
You were there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, would you like to tell us why you didn't have some of these records correct?
Yeah, in regards to the employee records, I failed as a manager. I failed to ensure that one of our employees has the fingerprint card during the inspection. And because the owner and her assistant is the one who's doing the hiring process, although it is my responsibility as a manager, I failed to ensure that there was a fingerprint card during that time.
So were they actually working without a valid fingerprint card?
Unfortunately, the caregiver was working without a valid fingerprint card, and we were cited for that.
All right.
Is that person still working?
No, we actually, because after the inspection, we reviewed all of her documents and we terminated her right away.
All right, it also said that you failed to ensure that a resident provided documentation of freedom from TB or two of the 5 residents that you have.
We have TV documentations for all 4 residents. Can I ask which complaint? Because I don't remember if we have that complaint on our.
It just says that number 2, the manager failed to ensure the resident provided documentation of freedom from infectious tuberculosis, TB, as specified in R9. 10-113 for 2 residents reviewed. And then it also said that you failed to ensure that residents accepted by the assisted living facility submitted documentation signed by a medical practitioner or registered nurse stating whether the individual required continuous medical services, continuous or intermittent nursing services, or restraints for 2 residents. Reviewed, accepted by the assisted living facility on or after October 1st. These are actually what they cited you for. Do you know what they cited you for?
Yes, I do know what they cited us for, and I have a copy of the deficiency, and we don't have the TB because we were not cited for the tuberculosis. However, we are cited for, because we have a citation in regards to the termination of residency, and I have like the form that it was signed. However, the other resident, he doesn't have a determination signed yet during that inspection. But I don't have the in regards to the TV.
All right. Let me ask you something else. It says the manager failed to ensure premises were free from a condition or situation that may cause a resident or other individual to suffer physical injury. And apparently, there is a door lift on the floor that they cited you before that had not been repaired or smoothed out or whatever. What did you do about that?
Oh, yeah, that one, it was not on our statement of deficiencies. However, the surveyor talked to us about the ramp. So we fixed it. We replaced it right away because the ramp, I think what happened was it was like kind of falling apart. So we fixed the ramp.
Are you ensuring now that your facility is totally safe?
Yes, ma'am.
Molly, this has been Kenneth. Something's not lining up for me here. We are talking with Alan Valorio, is that correct? 21-119?
Yes.
Okay, what I'm seeing on the deficiencies are the manager failed to ensure the personnel record for 1 of 3 staff of employees, fingerprint card for 1 of 2 staff of employees, and manager failed medical record containing address, contact information to the whole health agency,
and manager failed to either show residents kind of service plan, including the pre-diagnosis medical practitioner for all she said. But I can't find what you're finding there about some of these other issues.
These other issues.
But I'm agreeing with Mr. Kidder too.
Yeah, we can't find that.
You don't find that one out.
Page 70.
Page 70.
Is the investigator report.
Okay.
And then the complaint allegations are right at the bottom of page 70.
At the bottom of page 70. Where the complaint allegations are listed 1, 2, 3, and then on 71 there's 4.
Yes, Madam President.
Do you see those now?
This is Board Member Stephen. I agree with Board Member Kidder and Stephen I'm seeing 1, 2, 3 on 70 and 4 on 71 and not what our board chair was referring to. And I'm looking at it online. So I don't know where it goes out. Is this the other facility as well? Well, I think what Linda Kidder's hearing is, the testimony that she probably provided and her admission to the omission of fingerprint clearance, I think that's the biggest issue that we have
right.
in this case.
Mm-hmm.
I would be prepared to make a motion regarding that.
All right.
I think in our recommendations from some additional education and record keeping shows the personnel requirements. I would be comfortable with that if the board would get.
All right.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of violation of ARS 36-446.073, ARS 44610, and the ABC R4 33478 and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-119 involving management, family and the lawyer, and board offers defense agreement to be signed within 10 days. The matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, the statement of suspension, as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation of all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $414. 3 hours of continuing education with executive director pre-approval required the document completion and use of the following areas. Record keeping, service plan, personnel requirements. Any cost of the probation by those of the certificate holder.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation. Roll call, please.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Thank you.
So the board has decided to offer you a consent agreement to resolve the allegations. You'll receive some paperwork from staff within the next 5 to 10 days. Thank you for coming down today.
All right, thank you. Is Marlita Grant, Marlita Grant, Gant, please come forward, please. This is case number 21-121. Page number, please.
I'm getting there.
98.
Page number 98. All right, staff, will you please present?
My name is Marlita Gell. I'm the facility manager of the Golden Retreat.
Thank you very much. Staff, will you present, please?
This is case number 21121. The licensee is Marlita Grant. On August 27, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at a Golden Retreat Care Home, LLC, located at 18330 West Marconi Avenue in Surprise, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 9 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Ms. Gant was notified of the complaint and she did respond. On August 27, 2021, I'm sorry, one moment. On approximately September 29, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the substantiated violations. And the only violation that was included was the manager failure to ensure compliance with ARS 36-411.
All right, thank you very much. So, Ms. Gant, were you present the day of the inspection?
I was.
You were not present. Were you notified of the inspection?
Afterwards, they did the inspection. I was notified that they've been there.
How much afterwards? Days, weeks, months?
I would say 2 to 3 days.
2 or 3 days?
Yes.
Did you have a manager designated?
I do have a manager designated, and also he's an owner of that care home. He and I have some issue on communication.
What was the census of the home the day of the inspection?
It was 6.
6?
6 residents.
And what are you licensed for?
8.
8. All right, can you tell us why you didn't have the fingerprint cards?
Well, like I said, he did the hiring. And he said that he was presented with a yellow copy of the application for fingerprint. He told me he followed up, but he didn't due to his condition. At the time, he was having some illness toward the COVID. And I failed to follow up myself that there wasn't a fingerprint application.
Well, what do you do when you hire someone? Do you go through that personnel record and check and make sure everything is there and that it's current and that it's what you're supposed to have in there?
Yes, ma'am. I do also ask him, did he follow up? Like I said, he kept saying, yes, I did.
So, and you have the yellow copy?
No, ma'am. There wasn't no yellow copy.
So he lies to you saying that
yes,
the person had gone to get
yes.
all their fingerprints.
At the time we reviewed her case, I let the person go.
Is your owner here today with you?
No, ma'am. It's
probably working. So what do you do now if your owner hires somebody?
I have to be delinquent and following up whatever he does.
It's diligent. You have to be diligent.
It's my lesson learned that I cannot rely on the designee, that I have to go there myself to follow up if everything is in order.
How often do you go to this home?
It 2 to 3 days at a time, depending on the issue that mattered.
And do you go, do you help hire now?
Right now, we are fully staffed of what we need according to the census.
Lucky you.
It is so hard to find a right staff at this time.
That's why I said, lucky you.
Yeah.
So,
How about a new resident coming in? Do you go and work with your owner?
Yes. And I, at this time, like I told him, we are not on the same page, but don't get offended when I'm asking you this question. I didn't know that this COVID issue that he had, that he developed some kind of brain fog, and he's got this behavior, that short temper when dealing us. And I keep telling him, I'm the one who's be responsible with it. We have to work together.
And what is your plan if his brain issues continue?
At this time, it subsided his condition, and his behavior is subsided as well, and he apologized.
And so you feel like you have a better working relationship now?
We're still working on it, but he's not my main manager designee yet. And he agreed, because I believe that he felt that he didn't have this brain fog because of his judgment are not in order.
So is he a licensed facility manager?
No, ma'am. He's the owner. He's the my manager designee. He's working on to be a facility manager.
Because there's rules and regulations that have to be followed. And they can't be a hit or miss. And is your license true that it's hanging and you are totally responsible for it?
I always reminded him of that. Like I said, the temper and his judgment. So he and I have some kind of conflict.
Well, if he's around patients, how is he around patients? Does he lose his temper with them?
No, ma'am. Because the patient, they're not there for him. They're not questioning him. The problem with him, when he's being questioned, he's in denial that he did mess up.
So what are you prepared to do if his brain doesn't work properly in the future? What will you do if he is causing a conflict from you doing the job that you're supposed to do?
I have to tell him the fact that he will be removed as the manager, basically, although he's the owner, that I have to pick somebody.
As the owner, though,
he has this right. He's saying he is the owner. He has the right to hire somebody. But like I said, at this time, your hiring judgments are not in order, and it causes us deficiency.
How did you correct the medication order? And what was the medication that wasn't properly documented?
Yes, sir. I'm aware of that. There was an order from the physician, and at that time, I wasn't the one who filled out the medication. And the order for one medication is supposed to be 5 milligrams, but the pills was 10 milligrams. They failed to cut the 10 milligrams into 5 milligrams. And the other issue there, that one medication, the dosage supposed to be 80 milligrams, which what we have was 40 milligrams, and we failed to put 2 pills in the slot.
So who goes back and checks the math? This is just a simple math issue.
Yes, ma'am. And that's finished, I told him from now on, you know, I have to go and check and weekly basis.
And do you help him fill medi sets? Do you help him fill the medi set?
Sometimes when he's present, he was present, yes.
Otherwise, we
have to go through the order,
yeah.
Or a new order from the physician, and we have to match the bottle and are marked, that they are matching.
Right.
And doing so, sometimes we have this yeah issue. I know all that.
Well, he doesn't know all of that because he's still...
Yes, Yes, ma'am, I just realized that, that's why.
Did he learn, did he have to pay to Department of Health Services? Enforcement, was he taken to enforcement?
Yes.
We paid for the fingerprint issue.
Well, Members here, Ms. Gant, today's discussion is not about the owner of your home or his behaviors. It's about your responsibility as a manager to ensure that you have sufficiently trained and competent staff to ensure the safety of your residents. You are ultimately responsible for all of the activities in the home. And if you're not able to accomplish those, then you're not doing a good job. Would you agree with that?
I do agree, sir. And that's why I assume the responsibility. I told him so. It is my license out there. So the correction he made there is that I will be monitoring that on a weekly basis or call me when it's time to review the step.
Okay, all right. Then I think you're on the right track. Madam President, I would prefer to make a motion.
All right, thank you.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence in violation of ARS 36-446.07, B3, ARS 446.10, 8A, CR 4, 33407, A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct in complaint number 21-121 involving manager Linda Gant. And the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, so the matter will be forwarded to public hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of certificate and state of suspension, as long as the terms of consent agreement are met. Completion of all terms should be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $545. 3 hours of continuing education with executive director's pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas. Personnel requirements and resident rights, and the cost of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second, it's been moved and seconded that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation. Roll call, please.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Thank you.
Wally, who seconded the motion?
Board Member Archer.
Susan Archer.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
The board voted to issue a disciplinary consent agreement for resolution of the violations, the allegations. We'll send that to you within the next couple of days. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Our next case up is for Margie Cousins. Are you here? All right. Mary Lou Arizo Cereals. All right, would you come forward, please?
We have a page number?
I'm sorry, I'm going to do that in just 1 second. It's case number 21-125. Page number, please.
120.
All right, would you remove your mask, please, and identify yourself?
Yes.
No, wait a minute, sorry, you need to turn your mic on.
I gave you the wrong number, it's 163.
I'm sorry, page 163.
Thank you.
Okay, would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Good morning, Mrs. President, and good morning to all the members of the board.
Just your name.
Yes, my name is Mary Lou Arazo.
Okay, thank you. Stan, will you present the case, please?
Yes, this is case 21125. The complainant is Mary Lou Arasso Silas. On May 21, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Silas Care Home located at 11109 East Tank Verde Road in Tucson, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 6 different areas. Ms. Silas did respond to the complaint. On approximately October 5th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,250 upon the facility licensee for the manager failed to ensure a caregiver provided valid documentation on completion of a computer-approved caregiver training program. The manager failed to ensure at least the manager or a caregiver was present while residents were on the premises of the facility. The manager failed to ensure one employee provided documentation of a current valid fingerprint clearance card. The manager failed to ensure medication was stored by the facility residents. Residents were allowed to store their own medication at their bedside. Number 5, the manager failed to ensure medication that was stored by the facility was stored in a locked area inaccessible to residents. And number 6, the manager failed to ensure poisonous or toxic materials were stored in a locked area inaccessible to residents. That's my conclusion.
Thank you very much. Were you present at the inspection?
I was not. I was with one of the patients whose status was COVID resident. I was with her with the procedure for the kidney.
Wait. You just weren't there. You were not present at the facility.
I was half of the morning, because I was accompanying one of the residents for her kidney scan. And then about almost noon, I'm back, and he was there with one of my, with my caregiver. We only have 3 patients that time who survived from COVID.
All right, so what is your census for your facility?
Ten.
How many?
10.
10, how many were there that day?
3.
And you were there for part of the inspection, but not all of the inspection?
Yes, he arrived, okay. I think, like about 9 or something. And I arrived like almost noon.
All right. So can you tell us why you didn't have documentation of your caregiver having a caregiver training program?
I'm a nursing instructor, and I used to have Erasmus Charles Caregiver College. I used to certify caregivers. On the time that this caregiver is coming to the United States, she was worried because it's a fiancé visa, and she told me, like, what if this doesn't work? How can I survive? I said, are you willing to do, like a class there, I'll send you the book, I'll send you the exam. So she did, and she passed it, she did okay. Then she came here in the States in 2013, and she was in California. But I closed the college by choice on, I think, August or September of 2013. But I still do a CEU, and I still did like a seminar for writing policies and procedure in Tucson. So all the time I thought, because I communicated with Mr. Alan Eming, that those my correspondence are still accepted. So all the time I thought she's okay. But when this inspector, his name is Darrell Markley, came, he said, this is fake. I said, no, it's not fake. I showed him all my credentials, and I told him, these are the certificates that I give, this is the exam, this is the book I made, and he said, no. And he took the certificate itself. So I said, you know what? I'm already exhausted with COVID. I deal with it. Financially, I was drained on my working capital, on my savings, because I give a lot to my patients, to my caregivers.
Well, did you have an approved training program that was approved by this board?
It was certification for caregivers and continuing educations. I was certified, but then I chose to close it because in 2013, the requirements was changed, right? You need all these insurances, and you need a bigger room and everything. So I said, I don't have money on that, because my husband just passed away, I was still mourning. So I said, I will stop.
So,
go ahead. So the certificate that was seen was from a school that you had?
Yes.
That was certified by Department of Health Services in before 2013?
Yes. Yes.
And that was verified? Did the surveyor there call this board and ask if you were a school at that time?
I don't know what he did, but I was exhausted. I was still recuperating from what have happened during the COVID time. And so I said, okay. I said, I don't want to argue anymore. I want to rest. I want to return. So I said, I'll just pay it. But I told him, just give me some time, and I will be able to go back again, and I'll pay it. I said, I don't mind. I know you guys need money too. That's just because of anger. And I said to him, like, we all need some job security. So I keep my employees, even I'm not earning, coming from my revolving fund, coming from my own money, to pay them, just to keep them on stuff.
Well, what we need, what we're trying to determine is if you were cited wrongly.
I did. I think I did,
well,
by perspective.
We need to determine that. But
yes.
Apparently, we have some confusion between the validity of your training program and the approval from our board. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But also, it said that another complaint from the DHS was that you failed to ensure at least the manager or caregiver was present while residents were on the premises of the facility. Can you explain that to us?
Sarah was the caregiver that I certified.
That's the
so
same
she
person.
Was there. And,
oh, it's the same person?
Yeah,
that,
so
okay,
the
well, all right,
that,
so let's go to the next complaint.
Is the fingerprint issue for the same person?
No.
And
so, because of that, I sent her to
ma'am.
School.
Ma'am,
I'm sorry.
Thank
the
you.
Fingerprint issue is a different person.
It's a different person.
As a different person.
Okay.
What do you do for fingerprint cards?
She has a fingerprint.
No. What do you do now if you're going to hire somebody?
Oh, I actually check it and I get the copy. And sometimes if I'm the one who sends it to the department, I get the original. And that's what happened. She took it while I was sick. I didn't know until the inspector came in there.
That she didn't have it?
Oh, I do have it because every patient, every employee of me have this.
So you had it, but it wasn't?
It wasn't there on the time
wasn't
of the inspection.
Site?
Yeah. And then
but
she
quit
because she was scared.
Yeah,
and took care of
very scared.
Matter of law.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
So of these six violations that DHS cited you for, which one of these are you responsible for? Which one did you fail to comply with the applicable regulations?
I accept that I'm guilty on the time that they came, that the fingerprint clearance was not there. Even it's there, but if you don't see it, you didn't do it. So that's my policy. So I'm willing to pay that. And then the one that he cited me is about the medication. I attest on that because the scariest part of a human being is when they lose control. And this patient is still in there, and the family wanted to give some control, the same thing with me. So they told me, like, even just the morning thyroid medication, give it to her tonight at night, so in the morning before breakfast, she already have it. And the Tylenol that she could take at night.
Okay,
time
out,
time
out. Thank you. What do we do if somebody is mentally competent and able to manage their own medications? What is the rule?
It has to be locked on the room.
And
they have to sign papers that it's supposed to be on my care plan. And it's written on the care plan where the family signed.
Who else has to sign that? Saying that person is
doctors.
Okay.
Did
you have all of that?
Yes.
So
but then when he came in there, the medicine, I think
it was unlocked
on the table because it's morning and she hasn't had her breakfast, so it's there. So,
but if she's controlling her own medications,
just for the morning one, just for the morning one. But the rest, I do control it because it's a different kind of meds.
Okay.
But with the thyroid, I think it's okay because she has access, she has some freedom to take it before breakfast.
And if the doctor said that was okay, what should have been done instead of having it sitting on the nightstand? Opened up. It was sitting on the nightstand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the surveyor saw.
Yeah.
So that's not the same as somebody who self-medicates with the doctor's order because it wasn't, well, it wasn't.
I understand what you're saying. I'm a nurse.
What am I saying?
You're saying that it's not supposed to be there. I'm supposed to give it to her in the morning and she'll take it or locked it in her room.
Locked it in the room. That's the key. That right there is what has to be done.
Yes. I didn't do that. So I said, okay, I'm giving you this. And I told him, I'm willing to pay whatever you told me, but I was saying is give me some time. I'm drained right now. I'll pay it. That's what I told him.
You pay, that's fine. Okay, you got cited, you paid, you're gonna pay here, that's fine. What we care about is what are you doing differently so that your residents are taken properly care of, because a medication that's sitting out, I presume you're licensed to directed level of care, mm-hmm. which means you can have somebody who doesn't understand that medicine isn't theirs, mm-hmm. or that they shouldn't go into the room or whatever else. What do you do now differently?
I have a medication cabinet left, and I'm as a nurse, I'm doing it. And the only people that I could see that they're safe enough and they have the knowledge, that's the only one that could give the medicine. And now, because of this, I told the family, the son just came like last week. He's from New York, and I told him, I can't do this anymore, I have to keep it. But the patient is still crying, so we're still debating about it.
So what can you do?
Either I told her, either you're gonna go, or you have to follow my rules. But she said, no, don't let me go. That's because she really wants to stay there.
She wants to stay there, so there's a simple solution.
Yes.
What is the solution?
I take it and I give it to her. That's the solution, no. But still, they're trying to fight for their freedom. And if
she can have the freedom,
but
you
have
to allow out
in her room.
If
they would agree.
And what does it have to be if it's in her room?
It has to be locked.
Locked.
Has to be locked.
Yes.
That's the whole point you're missing here.
Yes.
If it's locked, she can manage it herself. She can have her own key or combination. And everything can be right in, sitting on her lap all day long.
I tried. She wants the bedstand and lap. She wants her little cookies there. She wants her. And sure, the
cookies aren't the problem. It sure is.
Yeah, but that's the place that is safest to put the lock on.
Well, so, maybe you can convince them, because you can say I have to now learn more.
Yes,
can you explain why the toxic materials?
Oh, because of the COVID, I'm anal in cleanliness. All the bathroom has soaps, has sanitizer, has hand cleaner, have wipes, have Clorox, I have
measures.
And so,
Chairman,
just yes.
Madam Chairman, this is Fred Randolph. I'm not sure the board's task or goal is to train the manager on how to be in compliance.
Right.
We just need to know how to get compliance. That we instructed to take some coursework. That would be my feeling on this issue. The board can do it to choose.
You're right. Right.
So
what is the pleasure of the board?
Whoever chair, I prefer to make a motion.
All right.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 433407ANB1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-125 involving manager Mary Lou Donato Cerro. And the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to public hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. suspension of the certificate of stay and suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $583. $3 of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required at document completion in each of the following areas: medication management and personnel requirements. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation. Roll call, please.
Member Kinder?
Yep.
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Thank you.
So the board has voted to offer you a consent agreement, a disciplinary consent agreement, to resolve these allegations. And it includes some continuing education and reimbursement of investigative costs. We'll send you that paperwork within the next couple of days. If you have questions, you can call me then. You can call me then. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Thank you for coming in today.
Our next case up. Will be Eunice Wabamba.
I believe it's page 236.
236. Your mic is showing a green button. It means it's on. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Eunice Wabamba.
And you'll have to speak up a little, sorry.
Eunice Wabamba.
Thank you. Staff, will you present, please?
Yes, this is case 21122. I'm sorry.
127.
127. This is case number 21127. The licensee is Eunice Wabamba. On August 4th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Dignified Assisted Living located at 11818 West Washington Street in Avondale, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 5 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Ms. Wabamba did receive notice and she did respond. On approximately September 29, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $250 upon the facility licensee for the following violation, and it's only one: the manager failed to ensure medication was stored in a locked area inaccessible to residents. That is my conclusion.
All right, thank you. So can you tell me, please, how many residents you had and the day of the inspection in your facility?
Sure, we had 5 residents.
5, and what are you licensed for?
5.
Were you present for the inspection?
The initial half, I think for 10 minutes I was not, but the caregiver called me that she had arrived, and so then I came over, so I sat with her for the entire inspection.
Okay, thank you. Can you explain why the medication was not locked in a locked area?
Sure, definitely. I can explain. There was actually 3 instances there. There's a main cabinet where I store the medication. That cabinet is the same cabinet where I keep all the residents' files in that same area. So when the inspector was there, I was going in and out of that cabinet. I unlocked the cabinet, was going in and out of that cabinet with her to review the files. And then we continued the inspection, so when she came around, that was open. So that one, I will push back on that one because that is always locked. The second point where we had medication is in the refrigerator. And the medication was in a box. However, the caregiver forgot to lock the box once she gave the medications. Then through this issue with the caregiver, why that is not locked, and the same caregiver that was there previously when I had this issue on the previous inspection. And so we concluded that the easiest thing to do is put one of those dial locks on there so she can carry the key around, because she was saying that, okay, it's hard for me to go in and open up with a key every time to take the medications up. So we said, first of all, we will put a dial on there, so now we don't need to go in there. The second thing is that we also reached out to the nurse practitioner to change the, because it's the insulin, really, that she was going in to get all the time. So we picked, and we get the insulin is not used to be refrigerated all the time when you go in there. In other words, you get the opinion dose, that way you can just lock up all your meds. So you do your new meds, you go to the cabinet, you get all your meds out. So this, we're not going out at this little thing that becomes an issue for everybody and also for me. So that's how we resolve that issue. The third issue is that I did not realize that caregiver had kept her medication in one of the drawers was her personal medication. And of course, I told her, you can't keep your personal meds in the kitchen cabinet without me knowing. So again, I'm guilty as charged.
So where does your caregiver keep medications now, if she needs?
She keeps the medication. She has a place in the garage where she keeps them, and they're locked in the garage.
It's locked
in the garage, yeah. Because she has personal medication for high blood pressure. We told her she can't keep the medication.
Yeah, okay. And sounds like he took care of the other issues successfully. Probably as best you could. I mean, you put a dial lock, a combination, which means when you close the lid, it's automatically locked again.
And then, so
you get rid of the key.
Yeah.
And this member, it sounds to me like she's got a really good plan. I concur with
you. I think so.
Your observation. I think that she's on it. I think that there are some mistakes that were made. I don't see a huge system issue, but and even if there was, I think she's got a good plan. Now, this was back in, the inspection was in August, is that right? Have you had any further inspections since that time?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Did you write your final correction?
Yes.
Yourself?
Yes, I do my own myself.
I'd be willing to make a motion to dismiss.
All right.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 21-127 against manager Eunice Wabamba.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the complaint be dismissed. Roll call, please.
Member Kinner?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Stamen?
Aye.
Member Steven?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Next on the agenda, we have two complaints for Glennis Borba. Let the record show that she is not present and we'll move on.
Are we hearing it?
Okay. She will not be appearing.
We're going to go through the entire agenda for those that are here and then come back. Yep.
Okay. Good. All right, we're going to move to item number 2192. Jeanette Ellison, are you present, please? Come forward. And I'll tell you, sometimes I may pronounce your names wrong, but I really, when you sign in, I can't read half of these. I know y'all were in a hurry to get in hard to wait, but it's difficult to figure out really who's here and who's not. So I'm just going to end up calling everybody as I go through the agenda. All right, Jeanette, will you identify yourself for the record, please?
Jeanette Ellison.
All right. Staff, will you present case number 2192?
This is case number 2192, licensee Jeanette Ellison, manager. On May 14, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility complaint investigation at Olive Grove Real Estate, LLC, located at 3014 East Indian School Road in Phoenix, Arizona. The complaint investigation identified five deficiencies in four different areas. Ms. Ellison did respond to her notice. On approximately July 21st, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee for the following substantial violations. The manager failed to ensure as a condition of continued licensure a residential care institution, and as a condition of employment in a residential care institution, employees had a valid fingerprint clearance card issued pursuant to Title 41, Chapter 12, Article 3, 1. Number two, the manager failed to ensure an employee who was eligible to petition the board for fingerprinting for a good cause exemption and who provided documentation of having applied for a good cause exemption pursuant to this Section 41, 60-619.55, who had not yet received a decision would exempt from the fingerprinting requirements of this section if the person provides services to residents while under direct supervision, direct visual supervision of an owner or an employee who had a valid fingerprint clearance card. That is my conclusion.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Ellison, were you present at the day of the inspection?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and what is your census?
At the time of the inspection, it was 102.
All right, that's how many were actually inside?
Yes.
And what are your license for?
Your license for 115.
115, you had 102 there today. All right, would you like to tell us about the fingerprint card?
Yes. There's really no excuse for it other than it was just a really rough time during COVID and all of us were all hands on deck, and it was an oversight in the business office manager's department. Both of the gentlemen were actually part of a group of five people that were really close family and friends that we had brought on board. Didn't have a reason not to trust that they weren't following through with things, and you know, hey, did you get that application submitted? Yes, I did. For the good cause exemption. So this is the gentleman with the good cause exemption. And he kept assuring us that it had been submitted, that he was told by DPS that they were backlogged, and that we hadn't heard anything. And unfortunately, as managers, we can't call and get information. I did attempt to call and get information, but they don't release that to you. They will only release it to the applicant. So I ended up actually driving him down there myself to find out that I guess when he submitted it, it didn't go through, or the facts didn't go through, or something happened. But the bottom line is we failed to follow through and stay on top of it, and it slipped out of the radar. We were allowing employees to stay on pending a good cause exemption after this experience. Once they are denied, they cannot be scheduled until the good cause exemption has been approved. And we are doing the application as part of the new hire paperwork. If they don't have one, they're filling it out, we're sending it in, and we're staying on top of it now.
Do you do the hiring?
No, I have an assistant, ED, the business office manager, that I'm involved with it. Of course, I'm an RN and a manager, so I get to be involved with everything. Yeah.
All right. Do you have any questions?
I don't think I have any questions, Mr. Peter. My concern is that somebody made a mistake. She understands her responsibility. It's all that she has to comply with. Yet I still have a concern that if she failed to comply with the fingerprinting requirements, I'd be willing to make the motion to do a letter of concern.
All right, is there a second? It's been moved and seconded that a letter of concern would be issued.
And what was that concerning?
What does it concern?
Okay, all right, well, let me do the whole motion. I know that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 21-92 against manager in that fellow public letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to comply with the requirements.
All right, thank you. Roll call, please.
Member Peter?
I'm sorry, we have a motion.
We have a second on
the motion. And we have a second from Member Archer.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Member Kinner?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, our next case up is case number 21113, Jennifer Nealon. Could we have a page number, please?
326.
326. All right, thank you. Would you please identify yourself? Yeah, ask me to help you.
Yes, you're fine. Good morning, Jennifer Nealon.
Good morning. Thank you, Morgan. If you'll please present the case staff.
This is case 21113. The licensee is Jennifer Nealon. On July 19th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living compliance inspection at Bridgewater Avondale Operations, located at 295 East Van Buren Street in Avondale, Arizona. A compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 4 different areas. Noting 4 of those deficiencies, the manager failed to ensure a written service plan was completed no later than 14 calendar days after the resident's date of acceptance for 4 of 8 residents' review. The manager failed to ensure a written service plan included a signature and date from the resident or representative for 6 of 8 residents' review. The manager failed to ensure an expert evacuation drill for employee residents was conducted at least once every 6 months. And number 4, the manager failed to ensure toxic materials stored by the facility were stored in a locked area and accessible to residents. The licensee did respond. And on approximately September 9th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil penalty of $750 upon the facility. And I'm sorry that they were only for two of those violations. Those two being the manager failed to ensure an evacuation drill for employees and residents was conducted at least once every 6 months, and the manager failed to ensure toxic materials stored by the facility was stored in a locked area and accessible to the residents. That's my conclusion.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Leon, were you present at the inspection?
Not for the initial environmental tour, but for the remainder of it.
Okay. And what are you doing regarding your evacuation plan?
So we had an evacuation plan that was done in May, and at the time I just had said to her it wasn't done correctly, so that didn't really occur to me that was really bad. So we did another one, followed up again in September and had an evacuation drill, we put out basically an extensive plan to all the residents and employees. The one we did in May was a mess because we had been through COVID, obviously, and we had done a lot of turnover in staff. So the one we did in May, it just was a disaster. We should have done a lot more preparing and education to them. And when I told the surveyor we had that it was a mess, it was. I mean, people were evacuating into the stairwells. They weren't evacuating at all. They didn't quite remember where it was, you know, the noise of it was. A lot of the employees were new, never really been through it at all. So that's why I said it was a mess. So this time we did a lot of education through our staff meetings and with the residents at their resident meetings, and then we put out a formal plan to them, a letter, and then had the evacuation in September and basically went over a recap with them as well. So we did the whole thing. And then actually next Monday we're due again for another recap. So again, we're putting out a letter to the residents and the employees, talked about, you know, how we did and what we did on the last one in September, and then what we're kind of fixing and making a little bit of improvements on.
So how large is this, how many beds?
So we have 164 now we're licensed for. We were 80 at the time of the survey.
80 total?
Yeah.
And you had an evacuation drill done in May? Was it written out?
It was, but you know.
But did you not show it to her?
I didn't. I told her it was on because at the time we were also looking for our evacuation and fire drills from the rest of them. I couldn't find them in the office of the plant operations person. They weren't there anymore, so I couldn't find them. And I had the one from May, and I was like, it wasn't done right. I don't have it, so it didn't really occur to me at the time.
To just give it to her?
No. And I told her about it, and I was like, yeah, we have them. It's not done right. So. I know.
That's part of the process, right? You get to write it up and say what you did wrong.
I know.
So that it's fixed. So, okay. What toxic chemical was out?
On this occasion, there was, the staff was cleaning our bistro area, put it in a cupboard and went to the kitchen, so it was just a, like a sandy spritz. They were cleaning, were really good at cleaning now COVID, but they put it in the cupboard, didn't lock the cupboard, went to the kitchen, came back, surveyor obviously had seen that they didn't lock it, and then we had a new resident that had moved in, and they had cleaning materials in their apartment as well. They were cleaning their apartment down, so they had Clorox wipes and another sanitizing spray that they were using.
Are they, are their rooms locked? If they're,
it was the family that was moving them in. Sorry, it wasn't the resident that was using it, but it was the family. But they are, they do have locked rooms.
So the resident's the director of local care?
This resident was director of local care, but they weren't in the room. The family was, they were cleaning, but they left it.
So they left it there?
Yeah.
They probably didn't realize it was toxic, and it was a no-no. They just thought they were probably helping the family member.
We've had that a lot with the Clorox wipes. Everybody thinks that they're okay. So we had to do a lot of education with our new move-ins and with our current residents.
You'd have to do a lot of education about all of that, even the families as well as the patients, because they don't understand.
Very much so.
So, okay.
Council member Shearer, I think it was the evaluation bill. And so if I'm hearing it right, you did do your drills, you were compliant with your time frames, although you were not happy with the outcome of the drill. The problem with the inspection was that you did not have evidence of that drill. Is that correct?
Correct. I didn't show it to her. It didn't occur to me that, like I said, it was a flippant response. I was like, it wasn't even done right. We had it, but I didn't do it right. I provided some documentation just to show that we had re-educated employees on it. So it, we had it in May, and I showed in our June in service, we were recapping our drills and what went wrong, just to show that we had done it and we were talking about it. But yeah, I did not show it to the surveyor.
So did you IDR that, or was that a part of the plan of correction?
I didn't, because
did you write the plan of correction?
I did write a plan of correction.
Correct. So that new improved drill style was represented in the plan of correction?
Correct. Yes.
Well, I think you need to show anything and everything. Even if it is a mess.
You
need to show them the mess.
I agree now. In hindsight, really stupid. I just wasn't thinking.
Okay. Member Kinner, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I would actually think about dismissing even versus a letter of concern.
I would support that.
Okay. I'm prepared.
All right.
The board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 21-113 against Jennifer Nealon.
Is there a second?
Member Kinner, second.
It's been moved and seconded that the board find insufficient evidence and dismiss claim number 21-113. Roll call, please.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Thank you very much.
Well, we have a whole PowerPoint here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks for the PowerPoint.
You're welcome.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah, when I use Kahoot, I don't know if you saw their answers. It's a really fun game that they got during staff meetings. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, our next case is 21-114 for Raymond Stone. Are you present? Raymond Stone? All right, moving right along. 21-123
at Adia
Pedahosky. All right, we will move to Cheryl Kelly.
Oh, somebody's here.
What?
Cheryl Kelly.
Oh, yeah, Cheryl, good. Okay. This is case number 21-101. Page number, please.
473.
And for those of you in the audience, we're using a brand new program for the board that we've not used but one other meeting, and so we're not really familiar with it. And we have to go to the specific pages of the complaint so that we know which one we're talking about. 473, okay. All righty, Cheryl, will you identify yourself, please? Yes, I'm sorry.
My question is, Jack, with the new format and in this section, staff recommendation for dismissal, are you anticipating that we dismiss these in group or that we still do individual review to each one?
Madam President, Board Member Kidder, the expectation is that the board can choose to vote these in a group unless they want to pull one out because they don't think it should be dismissed and they want to have discussion. So the way the agenda is crafted is you can do a block vote, dismiss them all at one time. If you have a respondent here that has to talk to the board can allow that to happen even though the recommendation is for dismissal. Or you can just block vote number 16 through 24, and they will all be dismissed. And I think Seamus touched on that a little at the beginning of the meeting. So it's really at the pleasure of the board, however you want to handle it.
All right, so while not being there in person, does anybody on the board specifically want to pull out and discuss any individual one of these cases? Even if the respondents are in attendance, that's awesome. I appreciate everybody's support in attending this report meeting. However, unless any member wants to pull out an individual case, I would recommend that we make a motion to dismiss all of it as a block.
Yeah, we can do that.
I would like to pull out Kenneth and Paul for further discussion.
And what case number is that?
21111.
Page 519.
And was there also a question about number 24?
No.
Let's pull up 21-111.
All right.
And with that set aside, I will make a motion to dismiss the complaint numbers tab 16 and then 18 through 24.
Second.
All right, it has been moved and seconded that the board accept the staff recommendation for dismissal from agenda item number 16, 18 through 24. Roll call, please.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye. Motion is carried. So, Cheryl, your case has been dismissed, as has Kathleen Conley, John Cantana, Marcia Turner, John Rosnes, Lawrence Predmore, Clint A. Dare, and Deborah McElroy. Now we will move to case number 21111, Kenneth O'Pera. Are you here?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Page 519.
So that's all right. Just leave quietly and thank y'all very much for coming this morning. 519, all right. Would you please identify yourself, sir? All right, staff, will you please present case complaint number 21111?
This is case 21111. The licensee is Kenneth O'Para. For May May 24th to May 27th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site long-term care facility compliance survey at Oasis Pavilion Nursing and Rehabilitation Center located at 161 West Rodeo, Suite Number 1 in Casa Grande, Arizona. The survey identified 17 deficiencies in 4 different areas. Mr. O'Power did respond to the complaint and address each allegation. On approximately August 24th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the following violation, substantiated violation. The facility failed to assist one resident in maintaining the resident's highest practical well-being by failing to ensure the resident received care and treatments consistent with professional standards of practice to promote healing of shearing and to prevent the reoccurring of shearing and the development of multiple avoidable stage 2 pressure ulcers. That is my conclusion.
All right, thank you. So, Mr. O'Para, how long have you been the manager of this facility?
Since 2014.
Since 2014. Were you there present the day of the inspection?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and what is your facility license for census?
134 beds.
34 beds?
134.
Well, 134, I'm sorry. And how many, what was your census the day of the inspection?
95.
All right. So would you like to address some of these concerns that were written up?
Yes. Most of the authority was cited was involved in particular one resident. This was when they came in for the survey, the pressure ulcers on this patient was completely healed except for one, which the surveyor did a wound round with the wound loss then and concluded that there was no pain. The patient was healing nicely from the last wound. But upon reviewing the record back in October, I think it was August or September of 2020, the patient had some pressure ulcers, which I don't know, most of you on this board know that that was at the kind of the beginning of the height of COVID season. And we were telling these patients to stay in their rooms, not to leave their rooms. And this patient was morbidly obese. We kept them in their rooms. And that kind of increases their chances of skin breakdown when they're like that. Even though we tried to do our best with the wounds, and if you read the survey, you can see that a lot of those wounds did resolve as the process went along. When COVID hit, we did lose about 35% of our staff. We lost our wound nurse. So we did have another nurse that we moved up to kind of serve as the wound nurse at that time. So we're following this patient quite the best we could with everything that we tried. We tried to reach out to our county department of health, see if they could provide us any assistance with staff in which they had said they could, of no help. We contacted the registries, nobody was providing any help, even to get the tests to even conduct the COVID test was very difficult. At this time also, this period, the patient also had COVID on top of it, and then had colitis, went to the hospital, had CDF. So there was a lot of stuff going on in that period, but I know when they came in, when I saw it in May of 2021, the wounds, the patient was totally fine. The surveyor did even say that when they did the touch, there was no pain, and they cleaned the wound, there was just one more wound that was healing nicely, that was still.
Were you unable to provide the wound care that was prescribed?
At that time?
Yes, at that time.
At that time, there was some, they were providing the wound care that was prescribed. It was there because we had a wound doctor coming to the building every week. and one nurse was coming there every week. I think a lot of it was how the patient was being transferred or being rotated. That was some of the issues that they had too.
And so you didn't have enough staff to rotate them?
Exactly, we didn't have enough. This was one of, and I hope nobody ever goes through what we all went through that during that period. We didn't have enough staff. I find myself and the assistant who were down the halls helping the best we can without providing care what the other pictures and doing all that kind of stuff around the building.
Was that the same person that went to the hospital?
Correct.
So all of this was around pretty much that one person?
That 2020, yes, ma'am.
Was that person on hospice?
No.
And you said they came in to you with wounds?
No, they've been a long time resident. They've always had wounds. This business is body filled because they've had wounds all through the way in and out. But kind of got.
So they've been bed bound?
Yes.
Chair bound?
Mm-hmm.
So it really came down to just not seeing them often enough to reposition.
To sit up, to get them. And at that time, we were actually telling people to stay in their rooms.
Right, yeah. We were all quarantined or shut down. But I think we all suffered during this time.
So how many staff did you have during this time, actually, on? Were you able to have staff around the clock?
Yes, but very, very limited the best we could. We had. We're offering all kinds of bonuses to staff. They will go up as high as $200 a week of shifts to come just to help. So we can get through the staff.
Are you pulling staff now?
We're still struggling with staff like anybody else.
So how much staff do you have?
We have a lot of staff now. It's gotten a lot better. I'll say that. At least right now, we are running close to the 3.0 PPD mark with the staff. Our ideal is about 3.5.
All right. Was there any other complaint around this, or this was specifically isolated to Department of Health Services?
Well, isolated to Department of Health Services.
Was family allowed in at this time?
No.
It was isolated. Was this the medical practitioner seeing this person?
Yes, they were going late to see this person.
And you had your 6 month revisit of documentation from the medical practitioner?
Yes.
For bed bound?
Mm-hmm.
Rich, you're the one who wanted to hear this. Did you have questions?
No. I started with the question of just the massive areas of identified with all the deficiencies, and then just reading on that front sheet that a breakdown of licensed nursing not performing duties is required, and the administrator says, gee, I'm not accountable. And I tend to think that what the administrators do if they aren't accountable. And then if I roll through the 200 plus pages of documentation, I saw they had quite an extensive discussion of their quality management program. So one of the questions I have, because this skin healing really ties to quality management program. Was your quality management program active during this time leading up to the inspection? And was this resident identified as having these kind of problems? And if so, what were you doing about it? Even if you identified it, you weren't doing anything. And if not, why not? You're the administrator, you run that committee.
Yes, I was on that committee, actually, on quality committee. We did identify, we do discuss wounds in our meetings monthly, during this COVID period, we did discuss wound, but it wasn't specific, it was generalized. We didn't talk about this patient in our notes with the survey or so, but we never was specific to this one patient. The meetings was not specific to this one patient. We identified that problem, we came up with a plan of correction we sent into the state, kind of changing the way we discuss wound and pressure ulcers in our QA meetings going forward.
The only thing I understand, Marge, is that you have the discussion regarding skin care issues, but it was a more generic discussion of the specific resident, and their situation was not specifically discussed.
We discussed, yes, we discussed this particular patient. And as we said, we knew those pressure ulcers were there. The doctor was coming every week. We were working diligently to do the best we could with what we had at that time. So we did discuss this patient, although on our QA notes, we never mentioned her name, but a lot of what was said on our notes was particularly about this patient, knowing what was going on. A lot of it, too small, it was documentation, because this patient being morbidly obese too, I guess one could complain that the grips was too tight on her. I remember the DOM did say not to put the grips on her, but put some chops underneath her to let her body kind of breathe. So they were doing that and working the best they could with the limited amount of resources we had to get this patient's wound healed. And the wounds were all healing, they just kept moving along. But so they healed, and it's just that when they came, the wounds were all healed, the patient was up in activities, up around, they were able to see the patient back to her normal self. It was just that when they reviewed the old notes, they found out all what was going on during that COVID cancer.
Well, I think I'm hearing you say that the wound, apparently you felt, the committee felt, the wounds were healing, maybe not as fast as you would have liked, but they were healing. And yet when I read this record, it says the care and treatment was not consistent with professional standards of practice for most healing or shearing, and to prevent reoccurrence of shearing, and the development of multiple avoidable stage 2 pressure ulcers. That doesn't sound like healing to me. What am I missing?
No, you're right, sir.
Which was
developing those multiple pressure ulcers. Like I said, we really, at that point, were trying our best with the resources we had in the building at the time during that height of COVID. So this patient was not being found regularly like they should, and things were being done to this patient. So we were trying our best to treat the wounds, to make the wounds heal to the best we could at that time. So.
Why, can I ask why, if that's the same person, why did that person go to the hospital, and when did they go to the hospital?
I think they went to the hospital for colitis.
So that was
for a different issue.
That's a separate, okay.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, it's a different issue. But same person.
Same person.
But it's the same person, but a different issue.
And was this situation, which obviously you were under pressure, as were every nursing facility I know, was under pressure by COVID. I understand that. Was the family of this resident or the designated representative brought into this situation, not necessarily to observe? I understand you couldn't bring them into the facility, but contacted in a way to say, this is what's going on, and this is what we're doing, and we need for you to be aware of that.
Yes, the family was aware.
We brought into that discussion.
I'm sorry, yes, the family were. They were very aware of what was going on. We kept very daily contact. during that period, we would actually call, anytime we had a new COVID positive test, we called every family member and give them an update of what was going on with their loved ones. In fact, at first, our attending physician would actually do that with the other IDT, some of the IDT members.
How often was the practitioner seeing this person regarding wounds?
We have a wound doctor that comes into the building once a week.
Once a week?
Yes.
So this person was being seen once a week by a practitioner?
Yes, ma'am.
And so if you're being seen once a week, how, again, I'm not a medical practitioner, sorry, but I don't understand how a physician with specialized knowledge in this area seeing a resident once a week apparently feels that, hey, we're on course to doing the right stuff. And then the state comes in and says, I don't think so.
It was all in the notes by the physician, if you read through. Christopher, you see that the wound doctor did come into the building once a week.
I understand. He said he came in, and apparently he felt you guys are doing okay. Is that correct?
Pardon me, can you repeat that, sir?
I understand you saying that the physician came in once a week to evaluate residents with skin issues. And apparently he felt that everything was working okay with this particular resident. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is my understanding correct?
Yes, sir.
Then why did the state come up with an exact opposite assessment?
Because I think part of it too, we had a wound doctor that when he put in some of those orders, he wasn't notifying our nursing staff exactly how he was going about that. We have since replaced that wound doctor with a new wound doctor. He will write those orders. So I can tell you that we have always had a wound doctor and a wound nurse, but what happened is we had lost our wound nurse during that period. Our wound nurse quit. We had a nurse that was there that was looking at those wounds. And she was just doing the best she could with even the doctor's orders and trying to follow the doctor's orders and not give it. And we want to, like I said,
When did you make the decision to replace that physician?
Immediately right after the survey. And we hired a new wound nurse also.
And now you have a new wound doctor at your facility that will
take care of the patients that you have should they have a wound? Exactly.
Okay. Did you say you had a wound nurse as well?
We have a new experienced wound nurse. Yes.
Okay. What is the disposition of the board regarding this case?
I find it hard to say that this case should be completely dismissed. I understand the difficulty everyone is faced with, but this is a very, very serious issue that could jeopardize the life and health of this resident. And I find it hard to say, gee, it's just a tough time out there and we need to move on. That's my opinion. But I hear from other board members. We got some board members who are administrators who deal with this every day. I don't, and I'm not. So I would be open to other opinions from them.
So does Member Siemens or?
Member Siemens, can you speak to this?
Yeah, but I think I understand what I think that was Rich talking, what Rich is saying, because, you know, just because of the pandemic, everybody, we can't use that as an excuse for anything, especially when it comes to wounds and coverage of, you know, someone taking care of those wounds, etc. So I would agree with him that we need to do something. You know, maybe Ken, who's also skilled in trying to have additional comments on what they think should be the resolution of the case.
Board Member Randolph or Board Member Hitter, do you have comments you wish to make at this time?
I agree with Melanie. This is Fred.
All right.
Well, I do too. As you know, it's a difficult situation.
It is.
Madam Chair, members of the board, again, well, the staff recommendation for this was dismissal, but that does not prohibit the board from determining whether or not they think these violations or allegations rise to the level of a disciplinary action, or if it rises to the level of non-disciplinary action with a letter of concern where you would warn the licensee to have these things in place in the future. And if a letter of concern will also give you the ability to take more disciplinary action in the future if anything happens that is of like kind. But it would be appropriate for the board to determine whether or not it rises to the level of disciplinary action first, and then decide where to go from there. Just a recommendation.
My question for, I guess, the other administrators or people with larger buildings, what could have, should have been done differently during this time? You can't send somebody to the hospital. It's not hospital appropriate. The person did end up at the hospital for another reason, but what would have been the solution that suggests that this person ignored the solution and acted poorly or unprofessional versus caught in a happenstance circumstance that all of us face?
My question. Yeah, Madam Chair, and I'm not trying to be the Assistant Attorney General, and Seamus may want to jump in here, but you know, it's almost like a strict liability. No matter what's happening around you in the situation, that violation remains the same. And the board has to determine whether or not it rises to that level, no matter what's going on around it, because the statutes and rules are sometimes black and white. So
do we not, the Department of Health Services said this is black and white.
Mm-hmm.
This is here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like it. You're cited now for this. We look at conduct. And so we're determining that this person has these wounds because of something unprofessional in conduct that was done by this particular administrator versus just that it happened. Yes, it happened. Was it unprofessional on this part that it happened, or was it out of his complete control? People fall. All kinds of things happen under our watch that we have no control over. So if I can't control that somebody falls and they break a hip, was that unprofessional conduct on my part or just an accident? That's the question I'm asking. At what point does this rise to unprofessional conduct?
Right, this is Member Schitter. I think what we have here is the health department cited and sanctioned a facility for a facility function. There are multiple players and layers of direct care, supervision, and so on. And, you know, what could the administrator have done differently is really the germane question that we need to ask. I think that it's a very serious issue, and they really do need to pay attention to it. They need to figure out a way to not let it happen again. So I would be prepared to make a motion to dismiss but issue a letter of concern that the administrator failed to implement appropriate wound care treatments, something like that.
That sounds fine.
Was that a second, Melanie?
Oh, sure. I'll second that. As I was saying, that sounds fine. It is a tough call either way, but, you know, we have sat across that many times in our careers, and you just keep reaching out to other entities till you find a solution.
All right, well, we have a motion on the table to issue a letter of concern in the letter. We have what the issue of the concern was.
Well, it's the letter of concern, the motion was, go ahead.
The administrator failed to implement appropriate wound care treatments.
Appropriate wound care treatment. Roll call, please.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Yeah, 6-1, 5-1.
It doesn't matter. They need 7. They do.
You got 6 for a quorum.
Yes, but somebody voted nay, so it doesn't carry. We don't even have. We don't have enough of the quorum, so that actually didn't carry. We better go get him. We grab him.
I'm not understanding.
So by voting nay.
Yeah, the motion fails. Because your quorum is 6 people.
So we have six that voted.
Yes, and you only have 5 that voted yes. So it fails. It's not the vote. Hold on, let me pull up in your stats.
It says majority.
Well, yeah, the motion should carry by majority.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, because we have 6. We're good. Sorry about that.
All right, I'm very sorry. The motion does carry with a vote 5-1 because we have a quorum of 6 people.
Otherwise, he'd be back here next month.
The letter of concern will be issued and it'll be explained to you, sir. Thank you. All right. Our next case up is case number 21136 for Chandler Monks. Administrator, page number, please.
1017. Thank you.
Page number is 1017. All right. Would you identify yourself, please, for the record?
Chandler Monks.
Would you identify yourself, please, for the record?
Yes, Cynthia Patine. I'm the attorney for Mr. Monks.
Will you please spell your last name?
Yes, P as in Paul, A T as in Tom, A N as in Nancy, E.
And Cynthia. Thank you. All right, staff, if you would please present case number 21136.
This is case 21136. The administrator is Chandler R. Monks. From August 3rd through August 6th, 2021, the Department of Health Services DHS has conducted 2 on-site long-term care facility complaint investigations at Chandler Pulse Acute and Rehabilitation, located at 2121 West Elgin Street, Chandler, Arizona. The survey identified 11 deficiencies in 9 different areas. Mr. Monk did receive notes and he did respond on approximately October 26, 2021. DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violation: based on clinical records review, interviews, facility documentation, health plan documentation, review of the state agency database, SA database, and facility policies, the facility failed to ensure residents maintain their highest practical well-being by failing to ensure one resident was free from abuse, and the facility failed to prevent further abuse for the residents after staff were made aware of an allegation of potential staff to resident abuse. That's my conclusion.
All right. Mr. Monks, how long have you been administrator at that facility?
Just over 5 years.
Were you present the day of the inspection?
Yes.
And what was your census at that day?
Roughly 103.
103. What is it today?
Today, I think we're 106.
All right. Do you want to explain the why the some abuse, neglect, or exploitation wasn't reported?
Yes, I received a message from one of my therapists. At the time, I was out at the facility for a meeting, and the message said that this specific patient had some concerns and recommended that I follow up with them. Because I wasn't there, I called my operations manager, because I get a unit manager assistant type role, and asked that he follow up with the patient. He said he was already aware of the patient and their concerns as he follows up with all her new admissions. He kind of said that he was taking care of it, was on it, and at that point I didn't really do anything else with it.
And the administrator, you didn't talk to the patient?
No.
At all? About it? How much time do you spend at the facility?
Lots, I would say, and I'm there every day, short of a meeting. At this time, it wasn't necessarily presented to me as abuse. It was just that, hey, the patient had some concerns, and that they were taking care of it on top of it. And so I didn't feel like there was abuse that was actually taking place. Mm. I never actually followed up with the patient myself. And was until after.
When did your staff follow up? When did your staff follow up with you?
It was later that day when I called him. He was already aware of the concerns that my therapist told me about. He follows up with all of her new admissions on arriving, and so he was already aware of the concerns when I called him.
Did he tell you about it, what he thought about it, and what it was, and how serious it was, or anything at all?
No, he just kind of said he was on top of it, taking care of it, and was working on it, and so at that point I didn't push any further or follow up with him.
This is Evan Dean. Oh, sorry, Ken. You want to go first?
Go ahead,
Mel.
I was going to say, you know, as the administrator, we may or may not think something, personally think I should say, something is a big deal of abuse. But as the administrator, knowing how strong it can be and that it can be true, you should always interview the resident and do a full investigation, even if a drop of a little comment that somebody came to you specifically and said, I think something's wrong here. So I'd like to know why that never happened.
Yes, absolutely. We've made some great changes since then and changed our entire practice on how we do things. At the time, again, I didn't feel it was necessary. I felt like my staff had it under control. But since then, we've made some good changes to where any type of the smallest concern, we instantly write it down on a formal grievance form. And we actually review it at our daily stand-up meeting the next morning. We track that on we have a census sheet. And on there, as any active grievances are on there, we go over them as a department head team so that everyone's aware and can make sure we're not missing anything or nothing's falling through the cracks. And then before any of those patients that have an active grievance are discharged, they actually sign off on the grievance and sign off whether they believe the resolution was satisfactory or not.
But do you specifically talk to the person though?
Yeah. If they have
grievance. In person, if they have a grievance?
Yes, any of those now.
Immediately? As soon as you hear about it?
As soon as I'm made aware of them, yes. We follow up with them right away. And then again, we discuss them in our standard team with all of our department heads present.
Well, you're the one responsible for it. Not everybody else. They are responsible to feed you the information, but you ultimately are the person that's responsible for it. And if you're not responding to these patients' concerns yourself personally, I have an issue with that.
Yes, absolutely.
You're not just not there to be the head of something.
Yes, absolutely.
They've got to trust you that you're going to take care of them and that you're going to get to the bottom of whatever is concerning to them.
Yes, absolutely. It's been a humbling experience, but it's we've made some great changes, and I do things much differently now than prior to this experience.
Well, was this issue that was
brought to you at the beginning, the steps that we've taken care of it, was that ever reported?
No. Just that they had it taken care of and were working on resolving the concerns with the patient.
Just remember, Kidder, you talked about your new system that, you know, you're reviewing any concerns daily, what you understand. If something comes to your attention, regardless of whether or not you speak personally with the resident that is expressing the concern, what are you doing immediately to identify whether or not there is inappropriate conduct within the facility? If, you know, you have a team of people with multiple layers of leadership and direct cares and so on, what's happening right away? And we can't wait until tomorrow morning to discuss the concern the resident has today. We've got to identify right now, is it, you know, just a simple concern, or is it an allegation of abuse or neglect?
Yeah, anytime there's any hint of anything that could be abuse or neglect, we immediately start an investigation. If there's staff members involved, they're immediately suspended while we do the investigation, and then we do our reporting to the Department of Health, the Ombudsman, the police, and Adult Protective Services.
All right, okay, good. That's a good plan. So how do you know that when there is a trigger of an allegation, that the people that are assigned to do the preliminary investigation, identifying the employee, all of that stuff, how do you know that that's being done versus the one employee saying, you know, we've got it handled? That's not enough, as you know now. How do you know that the appropriate people are taking action when they're supposed to?
By reviewing those concerns daily, we make sure that we didn't miss anything and that they're all being reported properly and timely, and that the investigation is taking place. I personally play a much bigger role in the investigation process than I have prior.
Are those submitted? How are those submitted? To you?
To me. It can be either through the grievance form, or typically if a concern arises that has any hint of abuse or neglect, I'm notified immediately.
Verbally?
Yes.
Via phone or
yes.
Text?
Yes. Yeah, and the staff will know, regardless if I'm in the building or not, call me day, night, doesn't matter.
And then how is that documented? Sorry, Kim.
This is board member Stephen. Can I say something?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just curious. Does your new system communicate with the resident or care designee what your role is in securing information from them, directly from them, if they feel a situation of abuse? Are they brought in with something they have to do rather than having to have perhaps something untoward happen and then try and figure out, can I trust anybody to tell?
Yes, anytime there's an allegation, be aware that the patient and or their family is notified immediately. Part of our reporting process.
I understand when something happens and they notify you and what you said, that they know they are fully protected to do that, to communicate with you when they have concerns of this nature. Are they told that up front before they ever had a problem?
Yes, they're notified on admission. It's part of our admission paperwork that I'm the abuse coordinator, and they can contact me.
And how about on hire, for if the employee needs to make a complaint or raise a concern about another employee, what kind of a process do you have in place to protect the person reporting?
Yeah, so they, upon hire, before they ever start in their position, they receive online training that goes through our abuse policies. That has been adjusted and made more critical, I guess, than maybe it had been, as well as with HR, they go through it. and receive my phone number, and then in our new hire orientation process, I actually touch on that. Prior, my social worker was the one who went through that, but that's actually a piece that I specifically go over now in our new hire orientation.
Does that include a non-retaliatory policy and procedure?
Yes, absolutely.
Are there any further comments?
Did DHS require a directed in-service for all staff regarding abuse of the book?
Yes, they did.
Okay, and if necessary, would you have documented evidence that you had attended that training?
Yes, I've got that, and I also attended additional training with Health Services Advisory Group that I specifically attended in addition to the directed in-service.
All right, they've done a lot, but you know, I think that you have some gaps with prior to this, the law enforcement situation. Sounds like you've implemented a lot tighter system to make sure that there's immediate response and action to you know, mitigate and prevent, you know, abuse and neglect. The staff is recommending additional education, and I think that the education that DHS required at the direct in-service plus additional education to DHSAG, you know, very good determination that he wants to do the right thing. I'm torn, not sure whether we need to take disciplinary action or but at a minimum to, you know, memorialize that we have a concern. You know, we're trusting that this new program is going to, you know, help him in the future to prevent this from happening. I'd be willing to run up a motion for a letter of concern, and then you'll see how the board votes. If not, then we'll consider a further action.
Could I make an inquiry on that, Ken?
Yeah.
When you get a directed service from DHS and all the education that your records show, would you have, or maybe I should just ask the administrator, do you have certificates of all the education CEUs that you have taken personally from the time you were cited to now to deal with improved knowledge regarding abuse and neglect in all those areas, plus investigations? Do you have documentation on that?
Yes, we do. I've got the sign-in sheets from our graduate service with the instructor who signed off on them, and then I've got the same sign-in sheet with Kay Huff, who actually did our director my service from HSAG, and she's signed off on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got both of their attachments.
So you could submit that as part of our recommended action to us to verify that you have had this kind of training in very recent months. And would you be willing to also make that in access to other CEUs you're going to have to take for your licensure renewal?
Yes.
Well, I would like to see both of those, Ken, if possible, if you agree, incorporated into that recommendation.
Let him get the motion on the floor first.
Yeah, Seamus, can we, you know, if we do non-disciplinary and do a letter of concern,
yeah,
can we still, we can still request additional evidence and documentation, is that right?
No.
Or would I have to make it a disciplinary action?
This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. You can request it. Doesn't have to comply as a certificate holder of the board. It would be prudent to comply. However, if you are going to try to memorialize that in an agreement, it is disciplinary.
Mm-hmm.
would be willing, based on his actions taken today, based on what we were reading in the file, that if I heard you correctly, it would be prudent for him to do that. And not mandatory, but we really are going to look very closely and hope that he would read very closely our thoughts on this issue and comply with them appropriately.
All right, so, yeah, not make it mandatory. All right, Mr. Bush, you've heard the deliberation of board members. On a voluntary basis, would you be willing to send your certificates, sign-in sheets, any elements of compliance of completion of this additional education regarding abuse and neglect, and send that to the board?
Yes.
Okay, and that you would do that, you would expedite that?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then I'm prepared to make a motion. I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 21-136 against Administrator Shanna Monks, additional letter of concern. The board's concern is the administrator failed to adequately implement policies and procedures for abuse and neglect investigating and reporting.
I'll second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that a letter of concern be issued to Chandler Monks, and the letter of concern issue was that the administrator failed to provide.
I think it was failed to adequately implement procedures for abuse and neglect investigations. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. All right, our next case is Christine Carlos. Are you present? The next case is 21-145, Eloy Dominica. And I know I didn't say your name right, so please have a seat. Thank you so much for coming. Will you introduce yourself?
My name is Dominica.
Amica.
Dominica.
Oh, Dominica.
D-O-M-N-I-C-H. Dominica.
Okay. Is that your last name or first name?
First name.
First name. Oh.
Last name.
All right. Thank you very much. This is case number 21-145. Staff, would you please present?
Hi, this is case number 21-145. The manager is Dominica Eloy. On September 14, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at the North Sky Assisted Living Care Home located at 3411 East Point Center Drive, Phoenix, Arizona. The complaint investigation identified two deficiencies in two different areas. Ms. Dominica, was identified as the manager, and she received notice of this complaint, and she did respond. I'm sorry, this shows Ms. Dominica failed to submit a written response. On approximately October 20th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee, the North Sky Assisted Living Care Home, LLC, for the following one substantiated violation. The licensee acted as a representative for a resident who was not a found member of the licensee. That is my conclusion.
All right. Board members, we're on page number 1073. All right. How long have you been manager of this facility?
Almost 3 years.
Almost a year.
Three.
Almost 3 years. All right. Thank you. Were you present when the inspection took place?
No.
How soon did you know there was an inspection going on?
The same day.
The same day. All right. And what is the census of the facility? How many?
Three people.
Three people. Is that what your license for is three?
For nine.
For nine, but for the inspection you had three. And how much time do you spend at the home?
Actually, I have, I manage two care homes. I live on the premises and I work 12 hours a day. And at the Sonora Sky, 7 or 8 hours
per week.
Per week. It does necessary, yes.
All right.
This is Member Seaman.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask why you didn't respond to the letter from the board. What's the reason you didn't respond?
Board members, I stand to be corrected. There is a response in her file. Yes, it came later after the report was written. I'm sorry.
It was after the time frame you gave her to respond in?
Yeah, I just found this note December 22nd, so it is in here.
Okay,
and can you explain the allegations that were given to you from VHS? How this happened?
And I realized that President GS appointed Maria and Matthew Modavana's medical and financial power of attorney. I told her she needs to revoke them due to conflict of interest since they are the owner of the facility where JS is residing in.
Okay, so this facility is owned by someone else, and you're the manager.
Maria and Matt Mulderman.
All right.
They are the owner.
Okay, and does the owner act as an employee?
Correct.
And so, you said you've been there about 3 years. Was this particular resident in the home before you started as a manager?
Soon they opened up. This resident was him.
And was that at the same time that you were the manager?
Correct.
So, for 3 years, they've been acting as the power of attorney?
No, the power of attorney is late. I have here the copies if you need it.
This was a recent survey that the Department of Health Services said that they were acting as power of attorney.
Power of attorney is signed by February 4th, 2021.
Was that after the survey?
The survey was September 14, 2021.
So it was before the survey. So it was
before the survey. Yes.
Okay. So there was a new power of attorney. Am I hearing that right? Initially, the owners of this facility had power of attorney over this resident until February.
Would you like to have a copy or?
No.
Just the date.
And that's a new power of attorney.
February 4th, 2021.
And who is that person? Who does that power of attorney belong to? Or is that the same one we're talking about?
Maria.
So that's the owner.
The owner of Sonora Sky Assistant.
Who is the current power of attorney?
Right now, nobody is. His patient is alert and oriented, and she don't want nobody. She's capable, and she takes her own, make her own decision, and she knows that fiduciary will be appointing her case when she becomes incapacitated by two doctors.
Okay.
She understands. The power of attorney is revoked when you cross a big line, black line, on the 10-19-2021. And she knows and she's capable to do her own decision.
Why
did
the owner take power of attorney? Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, sorry. You said, Tamika, you said that the power of attorney was revoked on October. What was the date? October what?
1921.
Okay.
2000.
Right, so this was after, and when did you become aware that the owners had signed themselves up for being hired attorney?
When the inspection came, I realized that JS appointed Maria and Matthew Mulvan become the power of attorney. And I told her she needs to revoke them due to conflict of interest since they are the owner of the facility where JS is residing.
Okay, so you became aware of it during the survey in September. They executed the document on February 4th of the same year. Am I
reading
this correctly? And you didn't know until September 14th at the time of the inspection that they had done this.
Correct.
And so then, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So then at the time of the inspection, you then instructed the owners that they needed to revoke the power of attorney, right? Which they did on October 19th. Is that correct? So what system do you have in place today to review, the legal documents to ensure that the owners don't do something like this again?
We have a meeting, and a training meeting. To be aware of by the role and rules, the law.
And question. So how did the surveyor find out that they were acting as power of attorney for this resident?
It was in the chart.
It was in the chart.
Yeah.
You didn't know it was in the chart.
Actually, it was the JS side with the cancer.
Say that again, sorry.
The patient insists to Maria since they want to have someone to power up to him. And Maria and Matthew says, JS, you are capable to make your own decision, not now. But she was worried in case of something happened with her.
We all understand the notion that somebody needs a power of attorney or a fiduciary somewhere appointed.
She don't want no one. She trusts Maria and Matthew because she has a very good care. She's a very nice patient.
And does that follow the rule?
No, I'm sorry.
Even if she doesn't want it.
Understand? Yeah. Now everyone knows. We apologize.
Now everyone knows.
Yes.
My question is, why didn't you know that power of attorney was in the notebook? Because the surveyor is the one who found it. Why didn't you know that that was there? Or did you know that that was there?
I should know as a manager.
You should know as a manager.
Yes, yes.
Why didn't you know?
I feel so, you know, I check the marks and the patient, talking to the patient.
Okay, so what are you doing now when a new resident comes in or?
Right now, yes. I'm aware of. We make a plan. We have a plan
And how often do you go back and look at the notebooks or whatever file document you have to make sure that everything's how it should be? How often are you doing that?
Couple of times a week. Couple of times a week, if it's necessary. But Maria and Matthew, they are very good owner and caregivers, and they are well trained.
And as good as they are as your designees, does that mean that you don't have to look as hard? You don't have to need to be as diligent?
Yes, I have to. But they are good. And as a manager, I regret that happened, and I apologize. And we pay a penalty, $500 for that.
Have you done any other training or looking at the rules so that you better understand?
Yes. The rules and regulations, and I'm a manager for 24 years at my D&I care home, and I will promise never happen again as long as I work in that.
Thank you.
This is Member Seaman. There's a few people you said that are the caregivers. Aren't they the ones that became the POA? Aren't they the same people we're talking about, or no?
The owners, yeah, I think so. The owners are the caregivers.
Yeah.
The owners are
the caregivers.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm prepared to make a motion, unless you all want to discuss further.
Go ahead, Melanie.
Okay, you're echoing. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446-07-B3. I'm very echoing. ARS 4461L, AACR 4-33-407A and B. For unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-145 involving manager Dominica Elio, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter will be forwarded to a formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of certificates of stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation of 3 months, reimbursement of investigative fees in the amount of $560, 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required, and document completion in each of the following areas: ethics and residence rights. Any cost of probation are those of the licensee certificate holders.
Is there a second?
Melanie?
Yes.
Melanie?
Yes.
Please, Mitch, would you be willing to add a CEU of communicable diseases to that?
Sure. I'll amend my motion to include 3 more hours in communicable diseases.
Member, a second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that it is recommended that there's sufficient evidence to support the allegation of unprofessional conduct. Roll call.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you very much.
So the board is going to offer you a consent agreement to resolve the allegations. Staff will send that to you within the next couple days. So if you have, no, thanks for coming down today. Appreciate it.
All right, our next item that is up is item number 21139 for Oscar Soto Alvarez. Not here. Next item, 21146, Colleen Lourdes. Lourdes, Colleen. Page 1104. All right, would you be kind enough to introduce yourself, please?
Lourdes Killian.
And introduce yourself, please.
My name is David Williams. I'm counsel for Ms. Colleen.
David Williams.
Yep, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S.
Thank you very much, David. All right, staff, will you please present complaint number 21146?
Yes.
This complaint number 21146. The licensee is Lourdes Colleen, manager. On August 11th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Eden Adult Care Facility, Inc., located at 1625 North 72nd Street, Mesa, Arizona. The complaint investigation identified 7 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Colleen was identified as the manager. She was emailed a notice of the complaint, and she did submit a written response. On approximately October 5th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee, Adams House, Inc., for the following substantiated violation. The manager failed to ensure one employee had documentation of CPR and first aid training. That is my conclusion.
All right, thank you. How long have you been manager there?
24 years.
All right, thank you. 24 years. And what is your census?
9.
9 now or then?
Then.
What is it now?
7.
7, all right. And how much time do you spend in the home?
I go there 3-4 times a week. And spend a lot of time there.
And then how much time are you there 3-4 times a week?
About 4 hours.
Okay. And my next question is, were you present when the inspection occurred?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So can you talk to us about why the employee record wasn't completed with CPR and first aid training?
Yeah, she was just tired, and I told her to get CPR in a place where she would do the actual training, and she said she did, but I lost track of time, and so it was not done.
So she didn't present her to you to show that she had had the training? And did you request it?
Yes, I did.
But you didn't get it?
No. She quit after 4 weeks.
I'm sorry, what?
She quit after 4 weeks. After the inspection, she got scared. She quit.
So she had everything else except for CPR first aid?
Yes.
Well,
what is your plan now in the future when you hire somebody?
Excuse me?
What do you do now?
What is your plan now?
Oh, yeah. What I do is if they don't have the fingerprints, the TB, and the CPR, I won't let them start yet until they get older.
You do not put them on the schedule?
No.
They do not work?
No.
All right, now you want to tell us about the written, not having a written service plan?
I think there was a written service plan. It's just that it was not signed by the power of attorney because we were on limited visitors and not too many families would come.
So you didn't have the residents representative sign the service plan?
Yes.
Is it signed today?
Yes.
And then what about your disaster plan?
Oh yeah, last year what we did is the COVID disaster plan, and that's not usually what we do. We have a set things where there will be a place for renovation, how you are going to obtain water, you know, those things. So I submitted another plan that that's our usual one.
Did you tell DHS you had done it before, but you just wasn't correct with it?
Yes.
And did you show them where you had documented them?
Yes.
Good. Good. I mean, you should document it with them, even whether it's a good one or a bad one, just so that they know you're following through the procedure. Right, does anyone have any questions of her? Right. No?
I will be willing to make a motion to dismiss with a letter of concern.
All right. Is there a second?
What's the concern?
Well, let me read it out. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 21-146 against manager Cornish Killeen, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is that the manager failed to maintain complete personnel records.
Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that the board issue a letter of concern, and the concern is that the manager did not have complete employee records.
Roll call, please. Member Kenner?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
President
Campbell? Aye. Member
Randolph?
Member
Randolph?
Again, Ms. Barry. Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Our next item that will be up is item number, complaint number 21-147 for Karen Pratt. And page number, please.
1141.
1141, page number. All right, Karen, would you identify yourself, please?
I'm Karen Pratt.
Thank you. Staff, would you please present case complaint number 21-147?
This is complaint 21-147. The licensee is manager Karen Pratt. On August 13th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted three on-site assisted living facility complaint investigations. And on August 16th, 2021, an off-site compliance inspection at Broadway Mesa Village, located at 7231 East Broadway Road in Mesa, Arizona. The complaint investigation identified 11 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Pratt was identified as the manager at the time, and she was emailed in some personal letter, and she did respond. On approximately October 14, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee, World Tower Pegasus Tenant, LLC, doing business with Broadway Mason Village, for the following substantiated violation. The service plan for one resident did not include how the medication would be stored and controlled in the resident's bedroom, and number two, stats were not included on the posted menu. That's my conclusion.
All right, so Ms. Pratt, you were the manager for this particular inspection in August of 2011?
Yes.
I'm sorry, 2021, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and but you were no longer the manager?
No.
and you're not managing any facility anywhere?
I am. I'm managing in Peoria, the Mission Agua Fria, and that was at the end of December.
Have you notified our board of that?
I have. I've notified the board, NCIA board, as well as Arizona, AZDHS.
All right. So can you tell us a little bit, well, first, were you there for the inspection? Were you present when the inspector came in August?
I don't believe I was there. I believe I was at home, but I came right in. So okay. I was like okay. 15 minutes there right after.
Okay. And I would like you to tell us about, I'm curious about the menu. Everyone that's in the homes, they like to know what they're going to eat. So were you having a difficulty posting what was going to be cooked that day?
No. So there was a
miscommunication.
No, well, there was a miscommunication. It was the word snacks wasn't included, but it was. And I had copies of it. So I guess the day before, the concierge decided to change it, revamp, make something fun and decorative, and they removed literally that word, and then Pat came in and got us. And I was like, no, it was literally like that yesterday. I promise I was checking it. And she was just like, I'm so mad that word snacks isn't on there. And so I went back up to the concierge and had them put that on there, explain the severity of it, to put snacks in the, it was before Pat was even done. But I can't even comment today because I have nothing from Broadway as of 11/17/21.
What was the type of snack on the menu? It just didn't say the word snack?
Right, like, yes. It was literally the word snacks that she was upset about because it said so there's a whole week menu, right? And then there's like an always available menu for whatever you want, and then there's popcorn, cookies, whatever, but she was mad literally about the word snacks.
Because she felt that if snacks wasn't there, they wouldn't know they could have a snack.
But it was like popcorn, cookies, chips, but it was
but snacks. But that word was
always available.
Always available. Always available menu and it lists. Uh-huh. And you probably have it in the plan of corrections. Because I sent you guys copies, and then there was even a one to show, it was like a Halloween border or something, and so they literally removed snacks.
So I presume this is Surveyor Pat with a G last name?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. How about the medication part in the residence room? Do you recall that?
I'm trying to remember that. So there was been a lot. We've talked many times, there's been a lot of turnover at Broadway at that time. And so before, because there was the new nurse came April, it was Chuck came in April. And so he was trying to catch up and learn everything about the residents and how we do things. And that was one of the service plans that he missed, to include that if they do medications, they need to be in a locked case in their locked room. And so that wasn't.
So the citation is that it wasn't indicated on the service plan. Do you recall, was the medications, did you have an order for self-medicating for
yes.
this individual? And was it indeed locked?
Mm-hmm.
Just was not identified on the service plan?
Correct. So that was a service plan error. So that was discussed. So when I turned in our plan of corrections, we went over everything, the past of things, and obviously the present, and we were going to redo it again. But he's no longer there either. So I couldn't even tell you if.
Did you review I'm assuming you didn't write your own policy and procedures for this location. Did you review them when you took the job there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so was that spelled out in the medication portion of policy and procedures? Did it have to be included on the service plan?
I can't fully remember that, but you know that you have to with the regulations. And so they had that before, but it was just this.
It was just there and not and missed.
Right.
This facility?
Right.
How large is this facility?
How large is this facility?
Oh, 119 beds.
119 beds.
Thank you. I prefer to make a motion. I don't I just don't see anything there, I think that you...
Me either.
Okay.
So I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number C1-147 against manager Sharon Pratt.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded, double seconded. That the board find insufficient evidence about to support the allegation of unprofessional conduct on case number 21-147. Roll call.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Steve?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you very much for coming. All right, our next complaint case will be case number 21-112 for Arthur Martin.
Madam Chair.
Madam President.
Yes.
Madam President, does anybody on the, or any members of the board wish to individually review these cases, or I would be prepared to make a motion to dismiss them as a block?
I do not want to individually hear them, but it's up to the board.
I don't
need to hear him individually, but I want to point out he's an administrator, not a manager. Once again, this is an error that it says manager. He's an administrator.
Oh, Mr. Martin, you're an administrator?
Mm-hmm. I'm actually both less, maybe the confusion, but I was acting as administrator at the time.
You were acting. All right, he is both. He said Melanie. But he was acting as an administrator at the time.
The complaint is about the nursing home part, the administrative part.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's no assistance, just I have both licenses.
I can't understand.
I'm not sure this conversation is necessary right now.
Clarify.
But I think he's going to talk to me. I can't understand him, and it won't be on the record if he doesn't. Okay. So, do you not want to hear, is it okay just to take the step of the motion?
Yeah, I'm trying to make a motion.
All right, please do.
I mean that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint numbers 21-112, 21-138, and 21-143.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we take the staff recommendation for dismissal for complaint number 21-112, 21-138, and 21-143. Roll call, please.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Motion carried. All right, now I'm asking, is there anyone in the room who is on the agenda that came late that is here to have their case heard? Okay. Now, should I just go to the consent agenda?
I would start just back up at the top on cases continuing from February 28th for the seven that were here.
Whoever's talking, we can't hear it.
It's Seamus, and he's giving me instructions, so please wait just a moment.
I'm just talking.
He's just talking to me. So hold on, please, just a moment, Melanie. Tell me what to do.
I guess I'll talk to you. We could just take, you want to go back up to the top and just take each section. You had seven absent in the first disciplinary consent agreement section, unless anybody wants to pull those out, discuss them. They're not here, so it would end up in the same kind of consent agreement being offered.
All right, and this is just for 1 through 11.
Yep.
All right, so board, we are now going to go back up to the consent agreement, and we're going to talk about cases 1, 2, 3, 4.
Seven.
Ten and 11. If you want to hear any one of those cases, let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to move that we do the SPAC recommendation for disciplinary consent agreements to those cases. Is there a second?
I see another second.
All right, thank you. It's been moved and seconded that consent agenda 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 10, and 11 take the SPAC recommendation for disciplinary consent agreements. Roll call, please.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Speeden?
Aye.
Motion carried. All right, now for the staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern, we took care of items 12, 13. We did not do 14 or 15. And those are the only two because we did do the staff recommendation for dismissal for 16 through 24. So I will take a motion to take the staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern for case number 21114 and case number 21123. There, and I will, is someone prepared to make that motion?
Second.
Oh, I'll make that motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, I've made the motion.
I did
second.
Make the motion.
Okay.
Did I get that
one?
Yeah,
second.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All right, so roll call, please.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Peter?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Steen?
Aye.
Motion carried. So that should clear this entire agenda item, other than now we'll go to board to item number seven, which is.
Oh, now you want to start with? Did you want to start with the new cases for review?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now we're going to do the new cases for review that were not here, and that would be item number 26, Christine Carlos, who is the manager. Do we want to do the staff recommendation for disciplinary consent agreement to her?
Yes.
Or do we want to hear it?
Okay.
I'm sorry, Kendra, what did you say?
No, I mean, we can vote to approve the board's recommendation for disciplinary action.
All right, I'll second that motion. It's been moved and seconded that case number 21142. I take the staff recommendation for disciplinary consent agreement. Roll call, please.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Steven?
Aye.
Motion is carried. And we, the last one that we need to deal with is agenda item number 28. Complaint number 21139 for Oscar Soto Alvarez. And this would be a staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern. And so move.
I make a motion to approve the board staff recommendation for a non-disciplinary letter of concern.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that complaint number 21139 take the staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern. Roll call, please.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Steven?
Aye.
Motion carried. All right, we're going to move down to item number seven, which is the board president report. This is going to be just kind of a short report because all of you all have followed us since May. And June, we lost our administrator, and then we went through the process of hiring a new administrator, and we appreciate the fact that Seamus, our Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General, stayed with us and told us what to do and how to do it the legal way, because this was not something that we had gone through before in this expeditious complaint. We thank Mr. Conker for coming on board as our executive secretary. We thank the staff, all the staff that we have, and the great job that they're doing. And I think with us taking the new way to do some of these complaints today and then having our meeting on March 28th, we're going to be up to date and we're going to be able to go back to once a month.
March 21st?
March, or is it the 21st, honey? I'm sorry. Did I say the 28th? I'm sorry. March 21 is our next meeting. As you can see, the future meeting dates are March 21, April 11, and April 25. And we're doing that just so that we can get caught up, because when our executive director left in June, we did not meet July, August, or September, but the complaints still came in, which they should have come in, and we're just trying to get completely caught up. And as far as I know, we will be all totally caught up by April. And that is my report. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. And I wanted to really thank Mr. Eden. He's done a wonderful job to take over as our investigator from Phil, who was here forever and was here, but he left. So I'll thank him in a minute when he comes back. So, all right, now I'm going to move to the annual board election pursuant to AACR 33102. We need to elect a board president and a vice president. And I'm sure the board is aware that our vice president, Dr. Villafranca, has a new position as the executive secretary to the respiratory board here for the state of Arizona, and therefore is not operating in the capacity of which he had been appointed to our board. So we thank him for his service, and we wish him well in his new position. And so, I will entertain a motion for the office of president. Who would like to be president?
Board members, you can nominate somebody to be president, and then we can take a vote on it.
Yeah, members of the board, it's Member Kidder. I've been in the leadership position many times over the last 18 years, and COVID is about knocking me on my rear end. I would be willing to set that up if that is the board's pleasure. If not, I am completely happy to just continue to serve as a member.
Oh, Ken, you would be wonderful. I would love to have you come on board as president. Does anyone else have a nomination?
Well, don't you have another year?
My year's up. I thought I had another year, but I guess my year is up.
So
I don't know.
I'm really hard to make a nomination. I nominate Ken Kidder for president of the board.
Oh, I already did. Okay, that's wonderful. So the nomination of Ken Kidder has been placed on the floor for nomination of the board. Are there any further nominations? Then I will entertain a motion that Ken be elected by unanimous consent as board president for the ensuing year.
Do we not vote?
You can all agree.
Do you agree with the unanimous consent, everyone?
Yes.
No way.
Aye.
No way.
Okay. We'll do a roll call.
We might want to memorialize it with roll call, please.
It's confusing. So, roll call, please.
President Campbell.
Aye.
Member Kidder. Member Randall.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Thank you. Now I'll entertain a motion for vice president.
I have a question regarding term of office. I'm not aware of when did this start. Can take over in April, or is it?
Well, how about today?
You can serve as officer for two consecutive years and then have to come off. So, and that means you start immediately.
That's what I needed to know. I just wasn't familiar with it. Congratulations, Kelly.
All right. So, We need a vice president. Who would?
Do we have a nomination for vice president?
I'd like a nomination for the vice president on the floor, please.
Melanie or Susan, or Wally, it's open. I think that we've got a really strong team here.
You would do it? All right, Susan, I'll nominate Susan as the vice president of the board. Is there any further nominations? I'm sorry, what?
Member Kidder will second the motion for Susan as vice president.
All right, thank you. Roll call, please.
President Campbell?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
I guess if I don't vote, we don't have one, so aye.
Yeah, you got it.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you, and congratulations, Ken and Susan. I'm sure we're in good hands, and you take over April 1. Okay, now we'll move real quickly to the executive director report for a budget update.
Madam President, members of the board,
Hold on. I don't think it starts April 1. I think it starts immediately.
What? He's saying that the term of office starts immediately.
Does it?
Sure. Let's call it after this meeting.
Okay. All right. If you want it immediately, you've got it. Do you want to preside from here?
Madam Chair, members of the board.
I don't know what the regulation says. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we already moved on. It's not important.
Oh, it's not important? Okay.
Yeah. You can deal with it after the meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Would you need a vacation?
Do your budget update, please.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we're in okay fiscal shape this fiscal year. Okay. We're not great. We had one or two retirements that hit this budget, so we've had to be frugal. So, but we're still okay with the budget. I don't have anything further unless there are specific questions. Licensing investigation statistics, I will have reports prepared for you at the next meeting.
Okay.
It was unexpected that I would be giving this report because we've never gotten here. So I'm all prepared. And a legislative update, and thank you, Kelsey. Senate Bill 1202, Senate Bill 1242 got passed out of the House, out of the Senate, went to the House, got first and second read, and I believe it went through Senate Health Committee, and it probably went through rules. The next step is probably going to be the House floor for a House floor vote. And I do not see a date for that, but the takeaway is that we have not had any significant opposition in the legislature with our renewal bill or the reforms that we identified in the study committee. So right now, things are looking good. We're sailing towards the governor's office. And if anything changes, I'll let the board know.
Well, we certainly thank Senator Pace for carrying the bills forward for us. And for those of you, I'm sure you remember the remarks from last meeting of someone who had sent in a complaint against one of the administrators, and he said that he was so grateful that this board was in place to do what we do so that we would take care of the complaints and take care of those vulnerable adults. So we appreciate that as well. All right, so we did D, so that should be it. And I'm giving you the future date, so if there's no further business to come before us, this meeting is adjourned.